And so I'm going to look at a couple of texts, and what we're going to do is we're going to build a chronology based on what we read. And so I'm going back to that. So we're going to learn from Daniel, from Jesus, from Paul. Actually, we're going to skip the Paul one, I think. We'll spend more time on that one later because it's really, really cool. And then from the Apostle John. So we're going to look at all these different people and find out what does it tell us that might help us to build a chronology of the events that's going to take place. And that's the only way to do it, right? What does the Scripture say? Let's write it out and think about it and draw it out. And that's kind of what we're going to do. So the very first text has to be the first text for so many reasons. It's because it's the only text that outlines specifically the fact that there's going to be a seven-year period in the future. And so that's why it's so important. We will deal with Matthew 24 through 27 all by itself at a much more detailed version. I'm just picking out concepts here that will help us to build a chronology. That's what we're focusing on here. So we can say, yeah, I can see from the text why we're saying what we're saying and why, you know, so we can draw it out in our mind. Because I find a lot of people get things in their mind and drawing it out can make a big difference because, I'm very graphic-oriented and very pictorial-related. So a lot of times I create things that are visual, a lot of times just for my own sake, just to make sense out of it. So, I can see this comes before that and that's connected to that, and that kind of thing really helps. Sometimes an abstract word, some people are really good at just hearing the words and picking it all up, and they put it in their mind, the theater of their mind, and they get it, but not everyone can do that. And so what we're going to do is try to draw it out. Like I said, I'm just going to show you. We're going to show you an outline of the future, but we're going to see how it all comes together. We're going to start with Daniel, and again, the reason that's important is because it talks about. Let's see what it says here in verse 24. 70 weeks. You're going to hear that phrase, or specifically, a 70 week, the very last of that week, is what we're referring to. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, which is who?
Israel,
and the holy city being Jerusalem, exactly. Yep. And then he goes through six things that's going to happen by the time you get to the end of the 70th week. He says to finish the transgression, that's number one, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And of course, that one is related to Jesus being anointed as the king. He would become the king. That's after this 70th week, but I'll show you how that works. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It's a creative way of saying 69 weeks. It's a creative way of saying that. But he's talking about the restore when they were in Persia, because the Babylonians had captured Judah and Daniel was there. And then all of a sudden the Persians came in and took over the Babylonians. And so now Daniel's no longer under the rule of the Babylonians. He's now under the Persians who have taken over the Babylonians. And so this is the context of Daniel writing here. And he talks about the restoring and build Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince shall be the 7 weeks and 62, which is 69. If you calculate that out, that's the exact day that Jesus rode in on a donkey on the triumphal entry is exactly 173,880 days. If you do all the math, you work it all out, it's exactly the day that Jesus rode in on the donkey. So this is important for other things. It helps us to know that we do understand that the 70 weeks are weeks of years because it works out exactly to the very day. April 6, 32 AD to be exact, would be the end of that. So, but let me get down to the end here. Verse 27. Then he talks about this guy, this new guy. He's actually referred to in chapter 7 and chapter 8, this Antichrist that we actually looked at in chapter 8. Remember, he was the guy that set up some abomination, the same he's referring to. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And 1 week, as we've looked at the way it's already been used, is a week of years. Week just means seven. So we always use the word week meaning 7 days, right? But it just means seven. It's just the word for seven. So it's one period of seven. It doesn't have to mean days. It could be hours. It could be years. It just happens to fit perfectly if it's years. So we understand there's going to be, he's going to confirm a covenant, this Antichrist, some kind of agreement, some kind of peace agreement. Seems to be a peace agreement because of what Isaiah says about it, because he calls it an agreement from hell, from Hades. Right? It's an agreement, you made an agreement with the devil and don't even know it, with the Antichrist and don't even realize it. But he's saying the Antichrist confirms a covenant with many, the many is Israel, the Israelites at the time, modern day most likely, for 1 week. So obviously this is a covenant that's 1 week. We already know 69 have been fulfilled. So we got only 1 week left. And this is why this is such an important prophecy. It's the only place that lets us know about that specifically is Daniel chapter 9, that there's 69 and they've been fulfilled. We're living in between 69 and 70 right now. Right? That's where we are. We're in a period of time, most call it a gap between the 69th and 70th, when that last week will resume. And so this week is tied to the same week he just mentioned, the 70 weeks up there. Only 69 have been fulfilled, so we know there's still one more. And so we tie two together. The 70th week of the 70 is that period of time that he's going to affirm this agreement. Most everybody that's futurist will see exactly the same way, see this text in the same way. It's a seven-year period coming. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week. So we've learned two things here. There is, first of all, going to be a covenant made for a 1 week period. So in the future, there's going to be a 1 week, 7 year period. Number two, in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings, right? And he talks about, and on the wing of abominations, which is what we referred to last week, when we were referring mostly to the abomination. What is that abomination? And Jesus said we need to know what it is. So in the middle of the week, he's going to stop the sacrifice and the offerings. He's going to accept some abomination. It's going to make everything desolate. I mean, you're going to want to get away anyway. But Jesus said, when you do see it, be on your own. Just go, leave, get out of there. He said, even to the consummation, even to the end, which is determined, shall be poured out on the desolate. He's just saying, this is going to happen. It's going to be a bad thing. Right? So what have we learned? Two things. And the two things we get from Daniel, so this is what I said, what do we learn from Daniel? We just read one text, and all we're going to say is, and all we're going to put on here is, what do we learn from Daniel? First of all, there's this seven-year period, right? The 70th week of Daniel, seven-year period, and that's when it starts, when the Antichrist makes an agreement with Israel. We generally call it a peace agreement. We don't know, but it probably will be some sort of a peace agreement. And so it signs here, it's a seven-year period, which is the same period that's still left to come. So this is a future period of 7 years, right? And then what did it tell us also? And in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings and set up the abomination. So if you got a seven-year period, in the middle of the week would be what? 3.5 years. 3.5 equals the full 7 years. So what we've learned from Daniel, real simple, is there's a seven-year period. It starts some sort of an agreement, peace agreement. He's going to break his agreement 3.5 years into that agreement, and he's going to reveal himself, who he really is. He's going to stop the sacrifices. He's going to set up some abomination. When we looked a little bit at Revelation 13, some sort of image, some kind of beast. We don't know exactly what it is. We don't know, but Jesus tells us to be aware of it very well. So he's got an agreement for a seven-year period. He breaks it in the middle. And that's pretty much all we got out of Daniel so far, right? Just the fact there's a seven-year period. In the middle of the week, the Antichrist breaks his agreement. And things will get different at this point. According to others, there's so many cross-references to every one of these, especially this one and further, that I'm just trying to keep it to what we're seeing on the screen, what you're seeing in your Bible, just these verses. So these are the two points we learn, right? Seven-year period, breaking in the middle of the week, he will set up an abomination of some sort. Now, I'm going to look at three little sets of Matthew passages, all Matthew 24. And so, again, all these are online. There's a PDF. You can go online and download it and print it and or view it on screen or print one page or whatever you want. But I just want you to know they're all available. It's exactly the same thing I'm running here, right? Same exact file. So Matthew 24, 14 to 15, we're going to look at three sets of verses there, and we're going to learn three things from Matthew that's going to help us to fill in more of this, outline that we're drawing down. First one, let's look at this one. 24, 14 to 15, and this gospel of the kingdom, and I love going through verse by verse through the whole book of Matthew, chapter 24, it's incredible. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now remember, the end is what they were asking. The disciples said, when will these things be, and what shall be the end sign of thy coming, and the end of things to come? They're trying to figure out what is, they don't know a whole lot, right? And in fact, they're not even, I'm really kind of interesting thinking about where they're at in context. They're not even sure that he's about to die a few days later. They're not even sure about all that, but he's talking about the temple being destroyed, not one stone would be left upon another, and that cues them to think about when that's going to take place. So he gives them a little bit of stuff that's going to happen soon, the temple get destroyed in 70 AD, and then he gives them a whole bunch of things that's going to happen way down the road, still future from our time as well. So then he said, the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination, which we read last week, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, which is the holy of holies, whoever reads, let him understand. Again, that's an imperative. He's saying, do understand this. So what we're learning so far is Daniel talks about the abomination in the middle. Jesus does the same thing, and he's going to give it a little bit more of the what it's going to cause, right? What's going to happen as a result of this desolation? Let me read the next couple of verses. 21, 22. And you'll see how these all connect together when we put it on the chart. You see a little bit more chronology. For then there will be great tribulation. So after this abomination is set up from the Antichrist, it's the beginning of something. It's going to be the beginning of great tribulation. And that lets you know not tribulation in general, he says, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. It's a specific period of time, right? So this abomination comes on the scene, the Antichrist comes on the scene, and there's all kinds of verses we can go to about what he does and all that, but we'll just stick to the abomination part, right? So he does this abomination, and then as a result of it, it will begin a period called tribulation. So many probably heard the 7-year tribulation. Well, it's nothing in scripture that gives you any indication that the tribulation period is 7 years long. It's not. It's after the abomination. The abomination is what begins it. And then he says, and, you know, this is a specific tribulation that's going to happen. And unless those days were shortened, meaning, well, okay, it's a 7-year period, right? And in the middle is the abomination. So if that begins tribulation in the middle to the end, then you would expect it to be 3.5 years of it. That's the expected time. But Jesus says, unless those days would be shortened, the duration of 3.5 years, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect saved. And the elect are the believers, clearly, right? The elect are always the believers. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, we don't know what that means as far as time. No idea. All we know is this period of tribulation could last for the rest of that 7-year period, for 3.5 years. But Jesus says they won't last that long. It's going to be pretty intense during this time of tribulation, and then it's going to be cut short, again, not knowing how long it's going to last. And then one more text, okay? And what cuts it short? What makes the period get cut short? Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So you see the chronology, the abomination set up, it starts the tribulation, and then now we're talking about after the tribulation. immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. We call that the cosmic event, and we'll see some other verses even today about that same event. And the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's going to be a dramatic event at this point, very dramatic. After this thing called tribulation that has been cut short, we don't know how long it's going to last. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, meaning everyone's going to see this, right? Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Oh no, oh my, what have we done? Okay, they're worried about rejecting Christ, and they should, right? And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. The clouds is very important. We're going to do a whole study just on the clouds, how many times the clouds are referred to as a prophetic thing, that Jesus rides on the clouds. And you see that in Revelation several places. He's doing things from clouds during this time during the time of wrath, but we're not showing that on this yet. We're not getting that far. I'm trying to get to a real basic chronology, right? So all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. It's a spectacle that everyone sees. Luke 21 talks about men's hearts will fail for fear because they just can't believe what's about to happen. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Right? The angels are going out with a great sound of a trumpet. They're going out and doing what? They will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. So, what do we learn? A whole bunch of little things. A seven-year period, we learn from Daniel, it's cut in two pieces. And then in Matthew, we learn that when the abomination will begin tribulation, but that tribulation is going to be cut short. It's not going to last a full 3.5 years because Jesus comes. But that when Jesus comes, does it mean that the tribulation, the seven-year period, I should say, will not continue? It will continue. And you can see how that's important. Go for it.
It's not talking about the wrath, though, when you're talking about the tribulation, correct?
Right. In fact, that again, is his own study to show the difference between, what's the difference between persecution, tribulation, and God's wrath?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And part of it is the wrath is talked about many places in the Old Testament. Many of the prophets talked about, they called it the day of the Lord. It's all about wrath. It's all about judgment. There's going to be a period of called the Day of the Lord. That's the one period we won't be around to see, because that's the time of wrath. Now, there's nothing that says that we won't see tribulation. In fact, in America, it's probably more difficult for us to get it because everything's so nice here. Everything's so mellow here. We don't know what persecution is like a lot of countries, a lot of nations, a lot of Christians are enduring. They're going through a lot of persecution today. That's actually a pretty important question because that was the problem the Thessalonians had. They couldn't tell the difference between tribulation and wrath of God. And Paul had to deal with that in the Thessalonian epistles to clarify so they know the source is different. The source of tribulation is Satan and the Antichrist, right? And unbelievers against believers. The source is Satan and really unbelievers. The day of the Lord is completely different. The source is God himself. He's the one bringing the wrath. He's the one bringing judgment. They're two separate things. They're two entirely different sources, two different things altogether. So all we're talking about here is tribulation, is that word there. We're not talking about the wrath yet. We'll get to those, but we're not talking about that specifically. And so, yeah, go ahead.
On the tribes will, when it said that they will all mourn.
Right.
Why would the believers mourn?
Well, this is not believers mourning. This is the unbelievers that are mourning.
Are. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good question. All the tribes of the earth will mourn.
So those are all the unbelievers.
And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. When you go to some of the other texts that parallel text to the same event, you see more and more of this. Like I refer to the Luke passage where their men's hearts are failing them for fear. And then when you get to Revelation 6, which we are going to look at today, it talks about that they're all wanting the rocks to fall on them and kill us and all this stuff, because the wrath, we don't want to try to, who's going to be able to survive the wrath of God? And the implication is no one will be able to survive it. We'll get to that. But yeah, the mourning is for the unbelievers. Paul talks about the same thing when he talks about the thief in the night in 1 Thessalonians 5. The thief in the night is not for us, it's to them. He said, but we're not of them who sleep. They don't know. The unbeliever, this is going to take them by surprise. We're looking forward to the coming of Jesus, right? We're looking, this is a great expectation and anticipation. So for us, we won't be mourning. We'll be hallelujah, because Christ is coming to rescue us from tribulation, the portion that's called tribulation. So here's what we got so far. I'm trying to keep it simple so far. We still got the 7-year period we learned from Daniel, 7 full years, right? In the middle of it, the desolation begins. And as a result of that, Jesus talks about it as a period of tribulation. Again, I can add a lot more verses that relate to that. But you see, the abomination is the Antichrist coming to rule, coming to take over and say, I'm God, and all these things. And when he does that, he brings great persecution. He's the source of this great tribulation. We don't know how long this is, right? This tribulation, we hope it's less than a day, right? Or 10 minutes, right? We want it to be very short, but we don't know. No man knows the day nor the hour that Jesus will come. That's why he just says it's shortened and doesn't give us any more information other than the fact that this great tribulation, unlike any other period of time, is going to be shortened for the sake of the elect. And so there will be a period of time of tribulation. And again, it's unknown duration. And what shortens it is the Jesus comes. That's what we saw, verse 29, 30, and 31 of Matthew. He comes in glory, and everyone sees him, and all eyes will see him. Revelation 1:7 and 1:10 talks about that. Every eye will see him, and the same idea that we have here, and there's a lot of verses that relate to that. This is we call it the revelation of Jesus. Revelation means the revealing, right? This is something you're going to see when Jesus comes. And I know, and I haven't taught pre-trib, we all get this picture of this secret rapture. All I can say is, show me in the Bible from a verse. Don't go through the system. I know how to teach pre-trib because I've done it for a lot of years. I don't do that anymore because it's a topical. This is pure expository, verse by verse by verse, learning from the verses, and let it draw it out for us, and not just say, well, what is everybody else saying? Favorite pastor or preacher or whatever, and favorite prophecy teacher. I've had to learn to just ignore them and just, what does the text say, and go with it. And so we're going to see that's all we're trying to do here. That's why we're looking at the verse, learn what little bit we can, and build a little bit of chronology here. So, 7-year period from the signing of the agreement we get from Daniel. In the middle, the abomination comes. And Jesus talks about that same abomination. He says, when you see that, it will be great tribulation. Boom, boom, boom. Then he said, but it's not going to last forever or all the way to the end, because it's going to be shortened. Again, we have no idea how long that will last, but it will be a point of tribulation, and it will be cut short because he comes. Now, part of that is back here. And the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven. The sun, moon, and stars. That cosmic events he talks about there, pretty important. That's the thing that everybody sees initially. And then they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man will appear. So there's a lot of visuals here. And the point of the sun, moon, and stars is it gets dark. We don't know how long, but it's going to get very dark. And the idea is it seems like it stays dark for a day or two or three or whatever. And then from out of that darkness comes the sign of the Son of Man. I mean, it's like, it's a dramatic contrast. Very dark, awesomely bright, incredibly bright. You're going to really see it. Everyone will notice it. And the unbelievers will mourn and all to go with it.
Okay, Pastor Tom, if it's okay for this question right now.
Please.
On those verses in 29 to 31, are we talking in verse 30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven and so forth. The Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Right.
Is that the second coming as opposed to the rapture, or is it the rapture and not the second coming?
Okay, good question. The answer to that is there's only one second coming of Jesus Christ.
There's no separation from the rapture.
There's time between them. We will deal exactly with that. So if you're a pre-tribber, you believe that before the 7-year began, there's this rapture. And then you say, okay, so that's that. We're gone. We don't see any of that period. And then Jesus comes back, and that's the second coming. And there's at least 7 years in between them, right? That's a pre-trib position. Pre-trib, which is kind of a misnomer, because not the whole period is trib. It's only, in fact, the whole first 3.5 years is not trib. It's not until you get to the middle, when the abomination takes place, that you begin the point called tribulation. And even then, we don't even know how long that lasts. Okay, and so that's what we're dealing with. So there's only one second coming. So when we think of Jesus, and it's when we go, we'll do a study specifically on just the second coming, and you're going to see there is only one second coming. It's to rescue us. It's the same as what you think of as the rapture. The rapture is when he, because
what? I've always considered them separate.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I've always considered them separate.
Right. There is it, but when we talk about Jesus coming back to rescue us, like he's going to here, you can see he's rescuing us. He's gathering us, the elect, from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. The idea is he's going over around the world and rescuing us. This is the. Most people would clearly call that the rapture. Pre-tribbers would not. They wouldn't call this the second coming. And this is what I'm talking about being expositional and not topical. Because what they spend the time doing is showing contrast between the what they call the rapture and the second coming. And they look at the two and say they're completely different. They're separated by 7 years. And that all makes sense until you get into the text. Until you go verse by verse, but then it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Did you say it was like the one second coming, like it's almost like part A, part B? You know, on the clouds, like it says he's going to return, and then...
Right. So let me summarize that. That's a good question. So when Jesus comes back, he comes to the clouds, right? He doesn't come to the earth. We go up to be with him, right? We go to be with him in the clouds. Jesus does not come to the earth. Now, we do know from other texts, many other texts, that we do ultimately go all the way to heaven. Jesus stays on the cloud for a period of time. And he's the one help meting out the judgment that's going to be taking place on the earth. He ends the time of tribulation. Remember the picture we had here was this time of tribulation. He comes. The sign that he's coming is the sun, moon, and stars, the cosmic signs. And we're going to look at Joel in a second. It refers to the same thing. The sun, moon, and stars will happen before the day of the Lord, which is the wrath. And that's going to be this other period that's still left to come. But we go up, and we meet Jesus in the clouds, and then we ultimately go all the way to heaven, but Jesus stays in the clouds. When you see that in Revelation, you go, who's that? Oh, that is Jesus on the cloud. Oh, I wonder how long he's going to be there. Well, I don't know. Again, depending on how long tribulation is, how long day of the Lord is, depends on how long he's there. But he's going to be there working with angels. He's going to be giving out the wrath itself, the day of the Lord wrath. And when we get to Revelation 6, you're going to see a little bit more of that, which we're moving towards even now. So there's only one second coming of Jesus. It's when he comes for us. But it doesn't mean that Jesus is done doing stuff. He's still got stuff to do on this earth. We're going to be in heaven, but he's got things to do on this earth concerning the day of the Lord, because he's the one bringing the wrath itself. Any other? Yeah.
Why does it, when he comes for us, he says he gathers us from the four...
corners of the earth.
Yeah, heaven. He said heaven.
Yeah. Well, it's just, heaven can mean the sky. He means that he's talking about people on the earth that are being gathered to him as a resurrection. The idea of heaven, You know, Paul talks about the third heaven. There's the atmosphere, you got the clouds, and you got the third heaven, and that's heaven. That idea of heaven could just mean the clouds area around the earth. So it's used that way. We can do a word study. You can see how many times. The idea of heaven doesn't mean heaven itself, where God is at. It means the clouds in that kind of. But that's a good question there.
It sounds like what you're saying is at the midpoint, that's the beginning of the tribulation.
Right.
Believers will probably experience some of that tribulation,
right,
but that time will be short.
Right. Otherwise, no flesh would be saved. He says it's going to be like a time like no other time. Right? He referred to it, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's a very specific time, and it's going to be an intense time of persecution. And so we will see, as believers, a period of time, if we're still on the earth and we're still alive and all that, that will be part of that tribulation. Pre-trib would say, no, we go up here. Everybody likes the message of pre-trib. I just can't find it in here anymore. I used to teach it. I know exactly. So the pre-trib says they go up. 7 years goes by, and we don't see any of it because we're up in with God. We're in His very presence is how they see that.
So if I think things are bad now, I better get my attitude adjusted because it's going to get a lot worse.
Well, I, and again, we're going to see. The key that Jesus says, when you see, what was the key back here, right here? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see, that's with your eyes, you actually can see this, the abomination of desolation. Even if you're a pre-tribber or a pre-raffer, those are just two different terms, that we all understand when the abomination takes place. There's no challenge there. We all know it's in the middle. Everybody knows that. This is why I like to draw it out, because the pre-tribber will know that, but conveniently ignore it and act as if it's like back here. They act as if it's in the beginning. They don't say that out loud, but we just kind of ignore it. There's a lot of pieces of information. We chronologically know it's pretty important. We can draw something out from it and see what the Bible says, but they just don't elaborate on it. You don't see much elaboration on a desolation, abomination, other than to be sensational. There's a lot of people like to be sensational. Make it some big thing and get you all emotional. And I'd rather just be true to the text and deal with it. The abomination happens in the middle. They do understand that. We do as well. So, yes, it's in the middle that everything begins. Middle of the seven-year period. Are we in the seven-year period now? I don't think so. Because I don't think we've seen this take place, right? The agreement is when the Santa Christ makes that peace agreement. So we haven't seen that quite yet. So the cosmic disturbance, the sun, moon, and stars, we haven't seen that obviously, is the beginning of the very end for us, because they come out, they're actually the sixth seal in Revelation. But the sun, moon, and stars show, and then of course we go up in heaven, and we will never see any of the wrath of God being poured out. But nothing says today or then that we will not endure persecution. Nothing says that we will not. Everything in Scripture says, yea, if any man lives godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. So Scripture lets us know, don't be surprised when you suffer persecution even today. So before I go on, are we kind of hopefully clear?
Yep.
That part of it so far? Now, we just referred to the cosmic event. Jesus is referring back to it as well in Joel chapter 2. And I will show wonders, and this is the Old Testament, of course, in the heavens, and again, that's heavens around the earth. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire. The difference between heaven is around the earth, and the earth is the land itself. Now, it did distinguish between both of them, didn't it? Blood and fire, pillars of smoke, and the sun will be turned into darkness. That's how we know it's turned dark. And the moon will not give its light. Will turn to blood, meaning it's blood red, not giving much light out at all. Before, this is cool, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, what starts the great and awesome day of the Lord? Jesus coming. So you got two things happening. We go up and it's a blessing and we're excited about it. And he comes down and he starts bringing the day of the Lord judgments on the earth. We're not going to see any of that. We will never go through any portion of that. So this is the timing that we're looking at here. Let me go back to that one. This is the same event. We're just adding Joel to it. Joel's confirming the same thing, but Joel's also giving us one more thing, that the cosmic sun, moon, and star happens before the day of the Lord. So you've seen it's given us some chronology. So the cosmic events take place, and that begins the day of the Lord. Just like when the abomination begins, when they see that, that's going to begin tribulation. When the cosmic events take place, the wrath of God or the day of the Lord will take place. Let me go back to Joel. So he says, the sun will return into darkness and the moon into blood before, that's your chronology, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. That's what starts with the cosmic events. We go up, but on earth begins the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is used like 85 times in the Old Testament. Big theme, especially in Ezekiel, especially in Isaiah. Many of the other minor prophets talk about it over and over again. Joel, in fact, is one of those that it's his main theme is the day of the Lord. So there's a lot about the day of the Lord. It's all about nothing about Satan or an Antichrist. It's all about what God is doing to bring judgment on the earth. Now, he is bringing judgment on the Antichrist as well. That's part of his goal, part of the plan. But he is bringing judgment on what Revelation calls those that dwell on the earth. Those that dwell on the earth is a phrase used multiple times in Revelation. It only means the unbelievers who have not believed in Christ. Those that dwell on the earth. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's continuing on talking about how what the conditions are. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. There shall be. This is a good thing. But it's still future for Israel. Again, believers are gone. We're just talking about what's happening on the earth at this point. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord will call. Now understand the remnant he's referring to are... We'll see the 144,000 a little bit, but there will be Jews, and they are Jews, that get saved. Many of the, in fact, most of the minor prophets, when you do a study on them, they're talking about judgment, meaning Israel's, you're doing bad, I'm kicking you out of land, I'm doing this, I'm not letting your crops grow. And then you get to the end, and it says, but I'm still going to bless you ultimately. He's referring to this future period of time. He's still going to bless them in the future. And so many of the Old Testament prophets deal with that. Seems like most of the book is about judgments and plagues and all kinds of difficult things that come into their world, and it's really real, but it's not going to last. Because he's saying, well, for them it did, they ended up dying. But point is, they will save Israel in the end. So the remnant whom the Lord calls will be the Jews, because that's part of the purpose of the 70th week. Remember, it's 70th week. They're all related to Israel. The first 69 was all about Israel, and this last one's about Israel too. We just happen to be in the middle of it too. We're caught into a period of time that is for Israel, the 70th week, that last 7-year period. So from Joel, we just added it to the list of verses that talk about the cosmic event. It's still the same event that Jesus talked about, that the sun turning dark and all this stuff. They see it, and everyone sees it. And then we get raptured and all that goes with it. So there's only one return of Jesus, and that's to rescue us. But when we go up to heaven, that doesn't mean that Jesus is done doing stuff. He's still going to be doing a lot of things on the earth, and most of which, of course, is the day of the Lord's wrath. And then he's going to set up the kingdom and all that thereafter. So we're just learning a little bit about chronology but from these verses that are about chronology that do tell us the things. So, Revelation 6, I would like to talk about this a little bit. I think you're okay. Good, Karen.
So the cosmic signs, is that a short period before we're taken up?
Yeah, we don't know how long it lasts. The cosmic signs, we don't know how long it's dark. And then it said, then they received the sign of the Son of Man. The implication is it's dark for some period of time. We don't know how long. And then Jesus, the sign of the Son of Man, which we don't know what that is either. What is the sign of the Son of Man? A lot of us like to think it's, well, a cross, maybe? I don't know. I doubt it. But the sign of the Son of Man is going to shine, and everyone's going to see that because it's just been dark for some period of time, unknown time, and then the sign shows up, and then he sends out the angels, and they go around the world and collect all the believers all at one time. And that's exactly what Matthew's talking about. Well, there's only one second coming, so it's easy. Any coming of Jesus is for us. Every time it refers to him coming down is for us. Now, again, he's going to do a bunch of things. When we get to the battles, some of the things he's going to do during that time of wrath is he's going to be doing battles with Edom. We're going to see him in Jerusalem. And ultimately, we're going to see him in Armageddon. There's at least three battles that are talked about that he does battles during. So, he only comes one time, but he doesn't come all the way to the earth until way at the end. Ultimately, he comes all the way to the earth, and then he sets up the kingdom and all that goes with it. So understand that he does come to the clouds, but he stays there, doesn't come all the way. We're the ones that get to go all the way up at that time.
Question. When we go up, is that bodily go up or spirit only?
Yeah. That is the resurrection. So everybody... That's the same thing as Paul talks about those dead in the grave and all that. Same thing that Daniel 12 verses 1 and 2 talk about. All these talk about this one big event when Messiah comes. We get bodily resurrected. So we will have at that point our body and our spirit and the whole works. We get it all back. We get everything that we've never had before, I should say. We get a whole new body at that time. And that only happens one event. At the time of the rapture, we all get that new body. I see Dave thinking.
Shifting.
I can see thinking going on.
Well, I'm shifting gears somewhere else. I mean, and I know there's literal, and then there's
symbolic. Things like that.
Mm-hmm. When I see the sun black as sackcloth and the moon became like blood, I think of all the smoke around here. Mm-hmm. You know, and how black the days get, and yeah. I mean, it could be a whole lot worse, and very dark.
Right.
The stars falling from the heaven, from a scientific point of view, they're billions and trillions and zillions of miles away. They're not all going to fall down onto the earth. That would create
right.
a black hole that we, you know.
Right.
So is that kind of a picture of them just being turned out, or do you think we're going to see like asteroids and things falling, you know, or something like that?
It doesn't designate that way. I just say it's a God thing. God is doing it. If he decides to turn the sun out, he'll just turn the switch. I mean, he just says it and it happens, you know. So I don't know how he's going to do it, but you're right. I mean, we can think it's smoke and it makes everything seem really dark if it's really smoky. And the star, all it says is the stars fall. I just take that to mean the stars fall. Nothing more than that. Do they come to the ground? No idea. And this is what I was saying earlier. A lot of prophecy teachers say, oh, yeah, there's going to be asteroids. They're going to be hitting the earth. And they're going to be causing it. There's no way of knowing that. Nothing says that that's going to happen. All it says is they're going to be falling. Stars will be falling from the heavens. And the sun will be dark. It does say the moon will be turned to blood, meaning it's going to be red. Actually, we saw that about 2 weeks ago, didn't we? Not too long ago, the red moon. So, and it doesn't give a lot of light out when it's turned red. So those are the kind of conditions it does describe, but I don't take it any more than what it says. I think if we go beyond what it says, we're just speculating. And I want to stick to just what we can know, what is knowable. So related to all these same passages, the same idea, is Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. Very, very wild passage. We're actually going to go look at a couple of verses before that. In a moment, we're going to look at this first, and then we'll jump back to the verses just prior to verse 12. He says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal. The angel is opening up the sixth seal, right? There's seven seals total, and the sixth seal is open. And again, seals, we don't know anything. If we're just going by what we've read so far, we don't know what a seal is, right? We just know it's a seal. Something called a seal is open. I'm trying not to give more detail than what we see in the text, right? When he opened up the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. of hair. The moon became like blood. Sound familiar? And the stars fell from heaven, some of them to the earth. That's right, I forgot about that. That's right. Some fell to the earth. So there will be some events. So we're learning as we're reading, right? There can be other events that go on. So stars falling to the earth could be a big deal. As a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken of a mighty wind, right? So the idea is it's a big event. This is a God thing, right? Then the sky receded like a scroll, however way that works, right? It recedes like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and every island was moved out of its place. Does that sound like there's something big happening? It's like something very big. Where's Hawaii? Hawaii's next to New Jersey now. I'm kidding. But you get the idea. It's going to be moved. Somehow everything on the entire earth. Isaiah talks about the earth wheeling to and fro like a drunkard. It's a big event. It's a big event, right? And every mountain and island will be moved out of its place. And the kings of the... I don't know if that means a little bit or a lot, but all it needs to move is a little bit, and it's moved, right? And the kings of the earth and the great men... the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, that pretty much includes everybody, right? Hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. I mean, this is fearful time.
Well, this is us too. This is us too.
Well, to a degree, but we're actually going to be taken up. You're going to see that this cosmic event takes place. We might see some of it.
Oh, okay.
But the point, you're right. We are going to be at the end of it. We're not going to be staying through it. We're going to be leaving before this, because this really is the beginning of the wrath of God. They hide themselves in the caves and in the rocks, rock of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him, who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, right? And so they're seeing Jesus. Everything gets weird. It gets very dark. They see the sign of the Son of Man. They see his face. They see him. And then the big key is here. For the great day of his wrath has come. You see what's about to happen? Just like Joel says, before the day of the Lord, there's the sun, moon, and star event. Sun, moon, and star leads right into the day of the Lord. He's saying the same thing. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? The implication is nobody will be able to withstand God's wrath. It is the idea. Who's going to be able to withstand God's wrath? No one. But the point is, we go up, they go down. This happens so quickly. See, I think what we're going to do is we're going to see the sun, moon, and stars. We're going to see the sign of the Son of Man. We're going to be all resurrected, and more things happen on the earth. So we won't see probably the earthquake, and we will see the sun, moon, and star turn dark, right? Right. That's the cosmic sign, but we won't see like whatever dreadful thing God doing to the earth. We won't see any of that because we go up immediately right after. So you see, it's all... How, are we talking hours, minutes, days between the everything turning dark to the time that Jesus resurrects us? We don't know. Probably not very much time between the two. But the point is, they're afraid of what's about to happen. And what was about to happen, of course, was the day of the Lord's wrath, right? That's what he says. That's what Joel says. That's what Revelation says. What's about to happen after the cosmic signs is the wrath. So what we've been able to do is piece together, there's going to be a 7-year period. We learned that from Daniel. In the middle of the week, then notice there's nothing going on in the first 3.5 years. Nothing. And I remember, I'm going to show you some charts that are really interesting. What people do, they don't know what to do with events, so they just plug them back here. They don't have no reason, rhyme the reason to do that. But 7-year period, middle of the week, abomination takes place, the Antichrist is revealed to be the man of the hour. I'm ruling the entire world, is what he's saying. And from that begins a time of great tribulation, which we don't know how long it's going to last. No idea how long that's going to endure. And then what's going to happen to that? It's going to be cut short because of the cosmic signs, the sun, moon, and stars, and Jesus comes to rescue us. We get raptured out, we go up, and then things will continue on the earth, and what will begin after the cosmic signs is the day of the Lord's wrath, which is a very bad time on the earth. And that phrase, those that dwell on the earth, he says, even though the Lord's given them all opportunities, the wrath is going out there, but he's given them opportunity to repent, it says, still they will not repent. It's amazing. You know, when people say, seeing is believing, don't believe it. Seriously, people say, if I could just see, I would believe. It's not true, not what the heart doesn't want to. They say that with the head, but when the heart's involved, they go, I don't want to change my lifestyle. I don't want to change what I'm doing. That gets in the way. And even when they see God's wrath being poured out, they're not going to want to repent. You had a question?
Will there be any salvations after the midpoint?
Yeah, there will be salvation during any part of this point. Up until the day, I love Keith Green. He used to say, he said, I want to be around some sinners when the rapture occurs. And I'm going to grab them. He says, do you believe in Jesus or do I let you go? Right, you know, kind of jokingly, because they're going to go up with him. And he had that heart of evangelism. Go ahead, Jim.
During the white period, those first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is coming to power at that
point. That's right.
Yes,
he is.
He must be a really
He's doing some stuff, a little bit. And what he's doing is gaining power. We're going to study specifically what does happen in the first 3.5 years. It's not a lot. It has to do with the nations, the kingdoms that are coming in the end, the woman that rides the beast, and a number of things that are taking place where he's making agreements with them. She's an evil ruler and all this stuff. But the point is, all he's doing is gaining political power during this time, to the point that, remember what we learned from him, he's given an army. Remember that in Daniel chapter 8, he's given an army, and the army's the one that stops the sacrifices. The army's the one that actually set up the abomination, whatever the abomination is. So he's gaining power that he didn't seem to have at the beginning, but he will have body time to get to the middle. But the point is, when God's wrath begins, you're going to see it really waning. And not every nation agrees with the Antichrist. Not every nation follows the Antichrist. And that's what Armageddon ends up happening at the end. They're going against the Antichrist, and then they see Jesus on the clouds, but he's been there for some time, and this time he's coming all the way down, and he does battle against them. So in other words, they're going to do battle with the Antichrist, and they say, oh, he's really the culprit, kill Jesus, as if they're going to shoot him out of the air and destroy him. Of course, that's not going to happen. But that's the point is, there's tensions that go on because he's made promises. You can't buy nor sell without the mark, for example. Well, what happens is he loses power as time goes on because of all the devastation that's going on the earth. He can't keep his promises. So some of the nations that were in agreement with him are now going, you're not helping us any like you said you were going to. Tensions are going to rise for the Antichrist. It's going to get very difficult for him, which is God's plan. That was his plan all along, to make it difficult for him. Okay.
Where is the verse where we're caught up, and they don't use the word rapture, but caught up is in there?
1 Thessalonians 4.
Twinkling of an eye. Faster than we can make an eye. Rather than us stopping and seeing him and talking.
Right.
No, it's quick.
Yeah, it's very quick. Yeah, and what happens first is there's resurrection and then there's rapture. Split second. The twinkle of an eye is the fact that our bodies are going to be, we're going to have a whole new body, and we're not just going to have a new body, we're also going to go up.
Yeah.
Rapture. So they're both going to happen. I'd like to separate the two by split second, but they both happen. You have to have a resurrected body to be resurrected, to be raptured up. So 1 Thessalonians is the idea of the, well, 1 Corinthians 15 is the twinkle of an eye idea, and the catching away is 1 Thessalonians 4. Those are the two passages you were referring to. I saw lots of hands. Thought I did.
Well, there was somebody else had a question.
Okay.
I've asked a lot.
No, that's good. And I don't mind. Oh. You can always ask questions.
I do, though, have a clarification.
Okay.
There are still people saved that believe after the rapture, because
yes,
there's that the people that survive the, yep, there's going to be three groups of people in the millennium, and one group is going to be the people that survive the rapture.
Right. If somebody comes to
the day of the Lord, right?
Anyone that's saved after we get resurrected, and it will be, there will be some that will get saved. Most, you know, the majority will go up at that point. This, we're talking about any believer from the beginning of time. right? This is any Israelite that was a believer, any Christian that's a believer, they all get resurrected all at the same time. But there will be some that do get saved. And then those that get saved are the ones that are, they go in their mortal, normal bodies like we have now, they go into the kingdom, right? So that's why it's important that there be somebody, because there's going to be people who populate the earth in during the kingdom, which is 1,000 years after all this period, right? So, but the point is, there will be people that do get saved anytime during this period. Anytime during this period. So, and so what we've been talking about in this is this cosmic signs, Jesus comes, they know the wrath is about to begin, and that's what this is about. And so I want to talk about this just a little bit, and the time is always my enemy. Always. And again, I just want to emphasize a couple. Look at this. Now, I said we started at verse 12, right? Revelation 6. But I can probably do this quick enough for you to get the idea. Because everything's in order. The way I have it up here is the way it happens, right? So, the fifth seal is Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. It talks about those that are going to be killed, right? There's going to be people that are martyred for their faith. Nobody likes it. Nobody signs up for it. But it's a reality. That's part of the fifth seal. And then, that's here on earth, right? And then what's happening in heaven is verses 10 and 11. He says, the martyred saints, those that have been martyred and those that are in heaven now, right? The martyred saints in heaven ask, how long before you're going to pour out your wrath? It's still yet future. They're wondering, Lord, when are you going to bring retribution? And in verse 6, this is the response God has given them. They're giving them white robes, and they hold, said to hold on to them for a little bit. Don't put them on yet, is the idea. Just hold on to them for a little bit until the rest of the martyrs are complete, meaning to the rest of them that are going to die will die. Again, nobody likes that part of it, but that's just the reality of it. And then our six seals, what we've been talking about. When the sixth seal occurs, what happens is the sun, moon, the stars, the smoke, and all the different things, the earthquake, and islands moving, and mountains moving, and all that stuff takes place. And that's what's taking place in the sky, if you will, and on the earth. So it's touching the line here. So the unbelievers will respond with fear. That's what verse 15 and 16. They go into the mountains and to their caves, and they go hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, right? They say, rocks fall on us. I'd rather just die now instead of go through this wrath. They really don't have a good perspective, because hell is for eternity, right? If they die without knowing Jesus, that's worse than the wrath. But if you're an unbeliever, you're not thinking in rational terms. You just know you don't believe Jesus and you don't want anything to do with him. So they're fearing what's about to take place. And again, that's where begins the wrath, right? Jesus coming and all that. So the word rapture doesn't show up, of course, in any Bible, not the word rapture, but the catching away, or harpazo is the Greek word. It just means snatching away.
Gathered,
the same idea. Yeah, and that's what Jesus used the word gather. They gather them from all over the place. There's many passages that refer to this. I just picked a couple. I hope that makes so we get some chronological idea in our mind. So what's happening is, to go to chapter, Revelation chapter 7, and look at verses 9 through 17. Now, I'm not going to read that whole section, but it won't take very long to get the idea of what's happening there. Right, so nothing said that there was a rapture that took place, right? Other than Jesus talked about ties the sun, moon, and stars to their going to heaven, right, in the resurrection, and these guys are waiting for retribution to take place, and they're given these robes, and they're told to hold on to them, and that ends the chapter, and then we go right into chapter 7. And verse, if there was a rapture that took place, what would you expect to take place? What would you think would happen? I would like to know what happened in heaven, and I'd like to know what happens on the earth, right? If there was a rapture that had taken place, as Jesus talked about the sun, moon, and stars, and all that, and ties the rapture or the resurrection to it, I'd like to know what's happening in heaven. So he gives us first, in Revelation 7, 1 through 8, he gives us the 144,000. He seals. Well, why did he just seal 144,000? The point is, all believers just went up. There's no witness of God because they just went up into heaven. And so God immediately seals 144,000, 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. Why? Because he's going to have a witness on this earth. We did all witnesses, every believer just went up. Anyone has died in the past, that it was a believer who's gone up, we're all gone at this point. And then you get down to verse 9, and we're going to end it here. After these things, I looked, this is what's happening in heaven, and a great multitude, which no one could number, of all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robe. Now they're wearing them, because the rapture had taken place. And with palm branches in their hand, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Is that awesome? Now, so you don't see the word rapture per se, but you see it's described. He tells you what happens on earth, with the sealing 144,000, because God's going to make sure there's a witness. He tells you about us in heaven standing before the throne. We're now wearing the robes. Even the martyred guys back here saying, how long? Now they're wearing them. And we all have palm branches. I don't know where they come. They must grow palm up there in heaven. But you get the idea. We're all celebrating. It's a real party. It's a true party. So I'm just trying to get us some idea of chronology, because I know this can be overwhelming. It can be, but I was hoping that by doing something more visual like this, you can kind of see how we've slowly built. There's a lot more verses to every one of these pieces. That was the only one that's probably the lone, the guy that tells you there's a 7-year period. But everything else has lots of cross-references that talk about the same thing. I just want to use this just to show, you know, as best that we can. It's based on verse by verse by verse going through the text, not just saying, use a verse, ignore it, which is what we did, you have to do, because then you end up saying that, and you start showing contrast, and it's not, it's false. This is what the Bible teaches without trying. What's so easy, you say, what do you see there? And I say nothing, they go, well, I see it, and they draw it out, and they come up with this, just like I did, or and many others do, the same exact idea.
So are the ones with the white robes, it says in later on,
they were the martyrs.
That they're the martyrs that came out of the Great Tribulation. Right. So those aren't the ones raptured. Are they the ones that maybe got beheaded? Or
right, they're martyrs, so they got beheaded.
So they died a martyr.
So they're already in heaven. But those in heaven and those alive at the time all get resurrected at the same time. So they get resurrected just like we do. We whoever's on the earth.
White robes too.
Yeah, we're given white robes probably right away. For some reason, they're giving them, they kind of give you an anticipation. It seems like, hold it for a little bit, it's almost over. Then the rapture occurs, and then they give it to them. Right, it's a spirit thing. And when you get your body, that's a good point, and they get their bodies, now they can wear them. You can't wear them if you're a spirit.
That makes sense.
That's a good point. I should have pointed that out.
I know. You should have a half hour for Q&A.
We'll let you go home here.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Now, the 144,000, are they raptured up to you think they're witnesses during the day of wrath?
They stay on the earth.
Oh, okay.
And they stay on the earth. They stay, we go up, and we're raptured, and we're in heaven, and all that. They stay on the earth. They are called the first fruits, because there's a lot more Jews that's going to be saved. By the time you get to the very end, all Israel that's alive at the moment time will be saved. Believe me, they're going through Holocausts that are worse than what they've gone through with Germany. They're going to go through a hard time during this period of time back here as well, right, for them. We don't see it all. They will see a lot more difficult time, but they will get saved. The 144,000 are actual Jews, and they seem to be involved with evangelizing. I mean, I can go into a lot of details. There's also the two witnesses come in at this point. So we're going to see them as well. But I don't want to overwhelm the detail. I know I can show you how easy. They're given 3.5 years to rule, 42 months. And that's this whole period of time.
Yeah.
That they're going to be
Jews
around.
The Jews would have been raptured if they believed.
Anyone that believes would be raptured. Right. By all means, ask questions. I don't and email me and call me and whatever, text me and talk to you in person. Enjoy doing it, because it's not hard if you just read it. sit back and don't overwork it. Let me tell you what we had to do, what I had to do, the heavy text is incredible as a pre-tribber. I had to take Matthew 24. You basically had to say, that's all Jewish. It means nothing. Wait a minute. He's talking to his disciples and they become the apostles and Jesus doesn't know that. They're just, we had to just basically ignore Matthew 24. And we have filters, we would call them filters, how you filter out the things that don't work. But this is so natural, you don't have to overwork it. You just put the text in front of them and don't have to just say, what does it say? And they come up with it, and it all makes sense. Anyway, let me close. I'm trying to keep it to an hour. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity. And we just pray that as we learn things and principles from your word, that we'll take the time to think about it. But more than anything, Father, help us to draw closer to you so we feel ready and prepared for the things that are going to come down the road. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.